Open our Bibles this morning to Luke in the 10th chapter. A few verses that we read a few moments ago is serving as our key text toward the end of that chapter. Good to see you here this morning, especially visitors that we have. So glad that you've come to be with us. You know, Gary's right about that. That's just poor planning on my part. Usually mark those things down and know when they're coming and certainly try to be here for that. By the way, Gary's going to be teaching class here next Sunday morning in the auditorium here. He said his title was A Secret Service. So that sounds very interesting, and you want to be sure and be here to hear what he has to say from the Word of God. Somebody was telling me a story the other day. I think it was somebody that's here in the church, but it was about four guys who went deer hunting, and two got back, didn't get anything, and then one fella came in, and he was struggling carrying a deer, and came to the campfire and threw the deer down there and sit down. And the guy said, "Well, where's Harry?" And he said, "Well, Harry passed out down the trail a little bit." I said, "You mean you brought that deer back and left Harry out there on the trail?" He said, "Well, nobody's going to steal Harry." We are going to talk a little bit about priorities, at least as part of our lesson today, and that's certainly something that all of us need to think about from time to time. You know, in our study through the past few weeks on Sunday morning, we've been talking about individuals in the Bible. So much to be learned by studying characters, and so we've looked at some New Testament ones and Old Testament ones, and this week it's our turn to go back to the New Testament. And, you know, in one lesson we combined a couple, Esther and Mordecai, because the stories, you just can't hardly tell those stories without talking about both of them. And so today we're going to talk about sisters. I'm talking about Martha and Mary. And same thing there, you can't really tell that story without talking about both of them. And I think there's lessons there to be gained for all of us. And it's amazing to me what the Bible says about these two women. And really, after you read what the New Testament has to say about them, you come away admiring them both. And they're both women of faith. They both love the Lord. And the Lord loved them. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. Servants, I think, of God. You wish, you know, in a way that the New Testament just kind of went on with their story after it closes, but there's nothing there. But we have to imagine after the things that they experienced that they went on to serve the Lord in a very wonderful way. And someday we ourselves will see them in heaven. I think about this first text that we have, and then we'll move to a couple of others as we talk about their lives. But here the Bible says that Jesus was on his way and that Martha, showing hospitality, had him and to their home. He was on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus made a few trips up to Jerusalem during his ministry, but the last trip, we all know how that turned out, what that was for. It was for us and the death that he died there upon the cross. But he's on his way, and it was a very loving and kind thing that Martha did to have Jesus and perhaps his disciples. They're not mentioned there, but they always traveled together, and that would be quite a few mouths to feed and to take care of. And she was willing to have those individuals into her house. And the Bible tells us, of course, that as the evening went on, I guess, because it uses the word distracted, and that seems to suggest that Martha was busy, perhaps even doing what Mary was doing, and then got busy with other things, distracted, the Bible says. And Martha is the one here, I guess you would say, if you were to classify the two, the more practical one, and she was busy, you know, getting everything ready for those that were her guest. And she didn't understand why Mary wasn't helping her. Mary was busy too, because she was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to every word that came out of his mouth. So she was captivated by that. But Martha was so disturbed about it that she went and said something to the Lord. "Lord, can't you see that she's not helping me prepare? Why don't you tell her to help me?" There's a few times in the ministry of Christ where he was told what to do. This is another of those occasions. Martha must have felt very strongly about this. You know how sisters can sometimes get at each other? And I think that's kind of what was going on here. But you remember how Jesus responded. Jesus says to her that Mary had selected the better part, and it shall not be taken away from her. Martha, Martha, you're bothered about so many things, aren't you? And just a few things are necessary, really only one. Your sister's chosen that one. I'm not going to make her stop doing what she's doing. She's listening to my teaching. It's not that there wasn't a time and place for what Martha was doing. Certainly, that needed to be done. But like I said, we talk about priorities. And it seems to me, and I think it is the case when you read the response that Jesus gives in this text, that he's given, if you want to call it a rebuke, a mild rebuke to Martha. I can't see him, given the relationship that they had and the sweet woman that she was, I can't see Jesus giving it in a harsh way. I think it was more like, Martha, Martha, don't you understand this? You know, here's Mary, and she's listening to the Word of God, and right now that is the priority. There's going to be plenty of time later for doing what you're doing. It's not that I don't appreciate it, but this comes first. It was first in her life, in the life of Mary, and you kind of see that as you read through the different references of her and the account that are given to us in the ministry of our Lord. And then you know one of the other occasions in John 11. Wow. To be a part of that, resurrection from the dead. Their brother Lazarus. Remember how Jesus was informed he's sick. And the Bible says that Jesus loved them. He loved that household. But he stayed two more days where he was. And eventually, of course, Lazarus died. And Jesus spoke to his disciples about how he was going up to Bethany. Of course, Bethany was just a couple of miles from Jerusalem. And they're trying to protect their Lord. And they said, you don't need to go to Jerusalem. Don't you know there are those there that would do you harm? Jesus is insisting on going. And so finally, one of the disciples said, well, we'll just go die with you. That was kind of their outlook on it. Of course, they weren't quite as brave as they thought they were. All these disciples, all these people that we talk about, they all have their weaknesses just like we do. But it doesn't take away from, well, many of them, their spiritual desire to be close to the Lord and to grow and to go to heaven. It's just a matter of overcoming some of those things that we deal with in our personal lives. And you can see Jesus working with his family, how he must have loved them. Jesus said he's asleep. Disciples said, well, there's no need to go up there then. He'll be okay. And Jesus spoke to them plainly. He is dead. Really, I'm glad it turned out this way, Jesus says, so that you can see the glory of God. Jesus knew all along what was going to happen. And so he gets closer, and the Bible tells us that Martha comes out to see him. If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus said he'll rise again. Now notice this. Martha says, I know he will. And the last day, in the resurrection. What I'm telling you is that Martha was a very spiritual person with a great deal of understanding. She had that right. Eschatology, the study of last things. The chronology, when it was going to happen. She had all that right. Yes, I know there's going to be a resurrection. And that final day. And I know that my brother will be part of it. That's when Jesus gave one of his famous I am statements. I am the resurrection and the life. And Jesus is saying, we're not going to wait to the last day. I'm going to give you a sort of a sign of things to come. Now Mary's back at the house. Martha goes to get Mary. The Lord wants to see you. She doesn't hesitate. She gets up and comes to him, and her response is the same. If you would have just been here, my brother need not have died. He goes into the house, and there were a lot of people there from Jerusalem that had come out to console the family. Mary was weeping. You kind of see that with Mary. There seems to be more of an emotional touch, a loving hand with Mary than Martha. Mary was weeping, and those that were with her were weeping, and the Bible says that Jesus wept. Where is he? Take me out there. So they all go. Can you see this procession of people going out to the tomb where Lazarus is laid? And then when Jesus gets there, he says, "Remove the stone." The sisters say, "Lord, it's been 4 days. There'll be a stench. Remove the stone." And so they remove the stone. Jesus stands there. You know, I like these miracles of Christ because oftentimes they're so brief. He doesn't have to say much, does he? "Lazarus, come forth." You know, the next thing the Bible tells us is here comes Lazarus. He's bound up in grave clothes out of that tomb. Can you see the darkness of the tomb? You know, if you're standing on the outside, you're looking into the tomb, the stones have been rolled away. What you see is darkness. But all of a sudden, here comes this figure. Can you imagine the reaction? Not only of Martha and Mary and how they're overfilled with joy and amazement, but can't you see the people there? Remember, there were people. This is close to Jerusalem. Martha and Mary were well known. People had come out to console them at the loss of their brother. Can't you see some of those Jews that didn't believe? Bowing down at the feet of Jesus in amazement at what they're seeing? And can't you see others running as fast as they can back behind the city walls of Jerusalem because they're afraid of what they've witnessed? They don't know how to explain it. What are we going to do in the resurrection? You know, this is a sure thing. Martha, in her statement, shows us that she believed it to be a sure thing. Most certainly, as today has followed yesterday, there's going to be a resurrection. Bodies are going to come forth. We're going to live again. We're going to be given a new body. We're going to be with God in heaven, a new place. Only if we always lived like we believe that. And oftentimes we don't. You see, there's always a hope. There's always a deliverance in the life of a Christian. There's always a sense of amazement of what God is able to do and is going to do. And most assuredly, as you're sitting here this morning and breathing air and listening to this lesson, someday you're going to be raised from the dead. Nothing is impossible with God. We need to always remember that. One occasion, something these sisters experienced together. Isn't it something when families can experience spiritual things together and be overjoyed with them? To worship together with your family, to learn of God's word together with your family, to teach your children together about God. I'm telling you right now, if you're doing that, you're experiencing one of the greatest joys and moments in your life. You need to cherish that. Our children all together, I can see them as if it was yesterday. Jason, Jeremy, and Kimmy all sitting out there with Lenore. Of course, I had to be up here. Left her to wrestle with all three. Sometimes it was hard. But what a memory. If you're doing that right now, treasure that moment. Take advantage of every moment that you have to do that because it will pass. You think about these sisters and what they enjoyed together. What a wonderful thing. One of the most precious things in life that we have. Now the next event is very close to it because it's the next chapter. I like to call it the post-resurrection supper. Jesus shows up again. He departed for a while, then he comes back 6 days before the Passover, and guess whose house he's in? He's there at Bethany. Martha. What's Martha doing? She's serving, right? Practical Martha. She's serving. It has to be done. She's doing it out of love. She loves the Lord. What's Mary doing? She's down on her knees by the feet of Jesus, anointing his feet with oil, wiping his feet with her own hair. And what's Judas doing? He's complaining. This is pretty expensive stuff you're putting on his feet. We could have done something for the poor with this. Of course, the Bible tells us that he really said that because he was a thief and he would take from the purse. Let her alone, Jesus said. You know, one thing that Jesus always admires is passion, devotion about our Christianity and the love that we show. He honors that. Let her alone. She's not up serving like Martha, no. And she's not being concerned right now, yes, about the purse and the treasury and how much we have on hand. But look what she's doing to me. She's showing honor to me. She's preparing me for my burial. Leave her alone. She's showing love. And so we see this about Mary. We appreciate that about Mary. Wonderful things about both of these individuals and the way they serve the Lord. You know, sometimes when I think about this, I don't know if this is kind of weird or different, but I think about Martha and I see Martha kind of like Peter. Did you know the two great confessions made in the New Testament were made by these people? One by Peter, Caesarea Philippi. Who do men say that the Son of Man is? Some say John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. What do you say? Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus built the church on that foundation. Now you turn over to the Gospel of John chapter 11, verse 27. And Martha says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God that was to come into the world." Two great confessions, one made by Peter the apostle, one made by this wonderful woman, Martha. They knew who he was. A lot of people didn't. But they were standing on solid ground with their faith about Jesus. Wonderful thing to say about them. I see that between these two. And then you look at John. He was more reflective, devotional, demonstrating his love. He's kind of like Mary, you see. You know the three texts we just read? Every one of them, Mary's at the feet of Jesus. That's what it says. She would bow before him, be at his feet. And you remember at the institution of the Lord's Supper, it was the Apostle John who leaned upon the Savior's breast. And so you have, on one side, you have Peter and Martha, who you might say were sometimes kind of stepping out there and doing things a little bit in a hurry, and we might say more practical. And then you got on the other side, you got Mary and you got John, more reflective, devotional, more of a caring touch together. I'm not saying any one of these was wrong. I'm saying these were the differences you see in them. And by the way, you know, in that first text where you might say that Martha was kind of rebuking her sister, "Tell her to get up and help me." And then if you turn to the last chapter in the Gospel of John, you remember how Jesus is talking to Peter and what's going to happen to him. And what did Peter say? "What about that disciple, John?" And so both of them, you see, kind of did that, kind of had a little rebuke about the others. The similarities are amazing to me. Even as we study all these individuals that we've studied from the New Testament and in the Old Testament, you see things that you want to duplicate, that you admire. Same time, you see in some of them some things that you sure won't turn away from. Life sometimes is hard. And you get dealt some very difficult blows, and it's sometimes difficult not to go astray. We need to hold on. We need to be faithful. That's what we see in so many of these good people. And so duty. One thing I think about here is he says, "Martha, Martha, you're so worried about so many things. You're bothered about so many things." Doesn't life get that way? Anxiety. Are you one of these type of people? You know, do you have a lot of anxiety about things? You constantly worry about things and fidget about things. And sometimes you can do that so much that even when you're sitting in a place like this, your mind is 100 miles off thinking about something, worrying about something. And you're not really thinking about the worship service and the Lord and the teaching, the Lord's Supper. And so Jesus might say to you, "Martha, Martha, You're bothered about so many things. Can't you see what really is important? You remember the story, of course, of the soils. And there was the wayside soil, never got in the ground, that is the seed. There was a rocky soil, wouldn't establish good root system. There was a thorny soil, and finally the good soil. But you know, the thorny soil, it came up in the thorns, and the thorns are the cares and the pleasures, the concerns, as we might say, the anxieties of this life, and they choke out the seed. Let me ask you, are these things choking out the spiritual life that ought to be in you? Is it choking out the Word of God in your life? Don't let that happen. I think Jesus is giving Martha here a little correction, a little direction for our life. Priorities. I read a story about a college football coach. He divorced his wife, been his wife for 26 years. He had been given a job in the pros. And later when he was asked about it and he commented on it, I guess he was rather honest, but it was sad. He said, in college, I really needed this wife. Because there's more social things that you've got to do, and there's boys that you've got to recruit, and they've got to know that you're like a mom and dad, and you're going to take care of their boys if they come to your college. But he said, when I got a professional job, a wife would just be a hindrance. Didn't really need that anymore. And then he went on to say, he had two boys, he went on to say, football is first in my life, and to win is everything, and my boys are second. And I thought, how tragic. How sad. Something to compare that, I guess, with a man like Tom Landry, who you might say has some success in football, who always said God would be first in his life. So it doesn't have to be that way. And certainly in our lives today, as we think about where we're going, what really is your priority? You see, what's really necessary? Martha, Martha, she says. I'll tell you what's a necessity. You notice that Jesus said only a few things are necessary, really only one. That's interesting that he put it that way. Really only one. And guess what? Your sister's doing it because she's listening to the Word of God. She's changing her life. There are so many things that we have, and we can have everything and not have God, and we don't have anything. But we have God and don't have any of the other stuff, we have everything. God is the one that makes the difference in the priorities that we have in our life. We need to move a lot of things. If we're completely honest about the direction that we're going, we need to put a lot of things on the back burner. We need to do some moving around. God needs to have first place in our life. We just don't know how important it is. You know, someday some people hope that what will be said of them, and they'll name some sum of money, and they will say he's worth that much. I want to tell you something. The day he was born, he was worth more than that. Whatever amount it is. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall a man be profited if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That was what Jesus asked. Talk about a reflective question, that is, isn't it? What is really necessary? It's funny how we think a lot of things in life, secular things are necessary, how sports are necessary, how recreations are necessary, but this is not really necessary. And sometimes, you know, we even chide people, rebuke people who give it so much time and think it's necessary. And that's exactly what Martha was doing with Mary. You see, Mary, you don't have time for that right now. Reading the Word of God, you need to get up, take care of these things. And Jesus said, you're wrong. She's really paying attention to the most necessary thing in life. Wonderful people. Lazarus, Martha, Mary, and full of wonderful lessons for us. Duty and devotion. There's a combination of these things that we need to understand, put together, but we need to always understand who's first and what comes first. What do you want to leave your family? What do you want to leave your kids? A person will say, well, I want to leave them enough money for a college education. I want to leave them a fine inheritance. Well, how about leaving them faith in God? What about leaving them love for things that are right and proper? What about leaving them a righteous life, a good example? What about showing them about the church and its importance? I say to you that if you leave your children all those things, it's more than all the money in the world you could ever leave them. There's going to come a time in your child's life as they grow up, they're going to deal with some hard things. And what they're going to need in their life is not more money. What they're going to need in their life is faith, love, and hope. And you better hope you've given it to them. And this is the time to start, you see. What's really necessary? Don't you like the way Jesus put that? Oh, you're bothered about so many things. You really need to have more reflection like your sister. That's what you need to do. One thing that happens to us is we, and because the Bible says, you know, that she got distracted, I said a few moments ago, I think maybe she was heading in the wrong direction. But you know how it is? It's kind of like us, you know. She comes, Jesus sits down, he's starting to teach, and then Mary plants herself right there at his feet, and she's looking up in amazement, and she's hearing every word, she's drinking it in. Martha, too, maybe is there. But then her mind starts twirling, she starts thinking, what am I going to feed him? And if the disciples are there, what are they going to eat? That's a lot of people. And so she gets up and goes about her business, and she's wondering why Mary didn't follow her. She got distracted. And so we lose the ability to focus and to concentrate on what's really important. It's not always easy, is it? Because we can sit right here and do the same thing. What am I fixing for dinner? I've got company coming. What about this week? And we talk about, well, I come to worship every Sunday. And some people, yeah, they come, but they don't. They're here physically, but they don't concentrate and they don't focus on anything spiritual. They don't really worship God. So they even lose that hour, much less anything else. Jesus is asking us to put some importance on it. Just the same thing he was asking of Martha. Put some importance on it. I think there was some urgency in what Jesus was doing. Don't you? Some urgency. This needs to be immediate. You know, because what we do, what's our human nature? I'm going to tomorrow, and before you know it, tomorrow's here, and you know what you're saying? I'm going to tomorrow. And your life is full of tomorrows. There has to be some urgency. Why don't you do it now? I mean, if you really believe it's important, what's keeping you from doing it now? Obeying the gospel of Christ? Repenting of sin, being baptized into Christ? Why not now? And if you've fallen away from Christ and haven't been putting him first in your life, why not now do it? And if you don't do it now, when are you going to do it? I'll tell you what you're probably going to do. You're going to put it off. You know, I have to wonder, and I'll end on this note, but I have to wonder, you know, this happened in the life of Jesus and with Mary and Martha, they're home, and then Jesus goes up to Jerusalem and there's Bethany, and then there's that resurrection with their brother. If anything's going to change you forever, that would change you forever. And not that Martha wasn't already a spiritual person. She was. She knew the truth. She loved Jesus. And we can all say that about ourselves, that we do. Oh, I love God. I love the Bible. But that doesn't mean that priorities sometimes don't get misplaced when we get out of line. May God give you the strength to do the right thing. It's really up to you. God wants to help you. We want to help you. I want to encourage you. But when it comes right down to it, you've got to make the decision. This is right, and I'm going to do it. And so if you need to come, we encourage you to come as we stand and as we sing.
What will you do?